Welcome to the third of our conversations with women involved in making books about architecture. I'm Helen Thomas of Women Writing Architecture, joined by fellow editor Rebecca Billy. Today we are talking with Shumi Bose, an educator, curator and editor in the field of architecture and architectural history. Shumi is the chief editor at Kuzark, a magazine and a studio that explores critical design thinking. Shumi was born in England but grew up in Kolkata, India, before returning to Derbyshire during secondary school. She's a senior lecturer in architectural history at Central St Martin's, where she also studied on what is now an architecture course and is an adjunct professor at the School of Architecture at Syracuse University in London. She has held editorial positions at After All, The Architects' Journal, Blueprint and Strelka Press, and has co-edited and contributed to several books. Shumi has also worked extensively as a curator, producing exhibitions at the Venice Biennale of Architecture, the Victoria and Albert Museum, and the Royal Institute of British Architects. In 2020, she founded Hold Space, a platform for extracurricular discussions in architectural education. So, Shumi, may I ask you, why make books?
Why make books? My instinctive answer is it's a sheer honour. I can't think of anything I'd rather do than make books. But in my culture, books are sacred. Books are always held in high regard. And I suppose more personally, I see that sacredness, if you like, as a sort of superpower. I very clearly remember learning to read, deciding which books to put under my pillow, lest I need a quick read at some point in the night. As a sort of talisman of power, reading on the one hand and books as a sort of object that holds and allows you to transport yourself into other spaces. I know that in terms of reading, we don't necessarily need the physical artifact of the book, but there's something about the intensity of the one-to-one experience, the physical experience of holding the object and receiving its information directly, the currency of information online. Alters completely the notion and the experience of reading, I think.
I have a strong feeling that you're talking about text when you're thinking about books, but an image is something that you dive into in a different way. I'm wondering if what your feeling is about that.
As somebody who grew up learning to read, I definitely do value the possibility to conjure images without being provided them. But then I do love illustrated books and particularly graphic novels as well. Again, thinking about that space of encounter, it's a very different experience to hold in your hands the page of a book and be able to pore over an image than to, for example, see it on a gallery or to see it on a flickering screen held close to your face, perhaps under the duvet at night. There are many ways of encountering an image, but again, I think there's an intimacy as well as a sort of possession or ownership when you have something in an object. I also cherish my collection of graphic novels and photographic books and so on. There's something about having that access, being able to stroke the page. It's that encounter, that space of encounter that is so intimate and concrete.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because we were having a similar conversation before about the difference of like seeing a space in a movie or reading the description of a space. And we were saying that we both enjoyed so much more to just get the experience of reading of a space, like the mediation of the written word rather than the images. It's just like a different experience. And like the way you described it, it felt very physical, very architectural in a sense. This like opening the book and sort of like by the act of opening the book, you sort of create a space in which you then interact with the content of the book.
Yes, of course. I also love buying secondhand books, and secondhand books often have the traces of somebody else's space, whether that's marks from a coffee cup, marginalia, obviously, people writing notes. You sort of have a ghost impression of somebody else. Yeah, there are some books in which the post-its and bits of paper and bookmarks and so on that I have take me to a previous reading of that book, and it's kind of impossible to read it without that. And I think perhaps again that sense of possession or somehow noting the experience is something that's somewhat less possible in electronic forms perhaps. And the reasons those are often difficult to experience is because of time, because of experience, because of pace. One doesn't experience an exhibition in the same way as a book. There are constraints in time and in the capacity of information that you can absorb within that time. Whereas obviously a book has room to stretch out. Often in the books that I've edited, that's been a conscious decision to have to sort of relax or intensify the pace of a book. As an editor online, this is something that I have to deal with quite a lot on the website that I work on. And I think a book perhaps has the luxury of having several economies running at once. Whereas exhibitions are demanding in a totally different way. The format of it has a lot to do with how one plans to sort of curate an experience, if you like, or edit an experience or edit, text so that it allows for a certain experience. The book is a sort of finite thing, and I wonder if, emerging generations of readers would see that as a limitation, or perhaps just something one has to recognize, The nature of reading has changed, of course. And when I'm reading books, I'm often checking up on something that I've read about online or on my phone, or of a sort of rhizomatic dive into various depths. The sort of constant distraction that I'm sure I don't need to explain to any listeners where it's actually difficult to get through. As I mentioned, it's difficult to get through a 5,000 word or 8,000 word essay online because the chances of you getting through that without jumping onto something else to look up something is slim. That's a slim possibility. Whereas a book has a discipline as well as this confinement. It's composed, and I mean this the word curated is so abused. So I'll stick with edited in a specific format. Reading online has become something of the fudge of this. Sometimes you can see how many times something's been shared. And as I say, the currency of information online is a whole different dynamic to add to it. And again, a book doesn't really allow for that. Of course, you can look at top 10 bestseller lists and so on, but there is something privileged about the format of a book because it is somehow constrained by being a finite object with a certain print run. Unless you're going to have another print edition where you can make corrections, that's kind of it. I started working as a writer, usually for magazines, journals. I remember distinctly a point in the early 2000s where you would be paid perhaps several hundred euros for writing an article. Can you imagine? Several hundred euros for writing an article in print and 45 euros for writing something online. Now, as a writer, it's incredibly frustrating because the value of my labor is the same. I'm expending energy to write something wherever it's going to be published. And yet, the authority and the sheer capital required to publish something, particularly a book, a print run of something that's perhaps even illustrated and so on, the capital demands that there's a certain kind of value or authority. And so that work was valued more. It's going to be printed and therefore it's taken more seriously. But it's an interesting one now because books are still coveted objects and repositories of a certain moment. There are a few books where I enjoy having four or five editions because I like seeing the changes, the revised introductions, the different editorial notes. So I love seeing the revisions and I love seeing the inaccuracies that often reflect cultural and political moments. Obviously, that stuff is much more ephemeral online. It's subject to censorship, to the costs of archiving things.
That's a really interesting point, this idea of like different edition of books being able to trace almost a history of thinking and how society relates to certain kind of themes. And this I was wondering how then you relate to this platform as an editor, especially with all this like consciousness and this love for books. It's like how do you see them as sort of like complementary? Do you It's like it's a media thing. It's
Yeah, I guess I can pick up here from these questions about value. I should say here I'm deeply suspicious and cynical about any kind of metric. So particularly, commercial value or financial value in that sense is happily not my job. I'm not obliged to work in very close relationship with things like readership figures or clicks or fortunately Kuzark is run by a small team of women, at least at the moment. There's a freedom there to publish that which wouldn't be seen as sufficiently valuable, even to be published in print journals or books, whether in terms of capital outlay or time, simply would have been quite difficult in other print formats to be as responsive as we have been able to be. My first paid employment was working for a book publisher. And at that time, it was around about 10 to 14 months on a single book. And that was in contrast to architectural journalism. When I worked at the Architects Journal, an issue comes out every 2 weeks. It was a very loving process when I was working on books. You spend many edits on a text. I mean, I do love both paces. I suppose I also teach. I actually spend as much time teaching as I do editing, if not more. And so I'm very concerned with who's reading what now. I know that for various reasons, I can't really expect all my students to digest and read books. So it is a balance. It is a sort of, often one thinks, I wish I could make a book out of this exhibition, or I wish I could make an exhibition out of this article, or whatnot. There are often flows or desire flows between the formats. I'm very lucky that I can work on a website because I can refer them to it and link to their own ways of thinking in terms of that rhizomatic deep dive. I can link other forms of media. On Kuzark, we produce podcasts.
So we just have one last quick question, which is, do you have any advice that you would give to somebody who wants to make a book?
I suppose we've sort of skirted around it, but making a physical book costs a lot of money. The question is why and for who, I suppose. You can make chat books, and there's a huge amount of intimacy in doing that and making the actual book. Why does something want to be a book, need to be a book? It's not meant to be a prohibitive question, but a sort of propositional one. What is the proposition of the book? For instance, architectural monographs often have various reasons for existing. Not all of them based in research or great narratives to tell, and there's commercial values to things too. And then find friends who can help you talk things through and find money. But I don't know, I think this maybe comes back to my art school training. The why is the most important thing.